City of Angels Recovery Radio, and we're here with a great show tonight talking with Edwin Ahaji and Dan O'Loughlin about the recovery movement in Ghana and how Edwin and Dan are bringing U.S.-based recovery tools to Ghana. So thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Edwin, could you tell us a little bit about what is the recovery situation in Ghana right now? How serious a disease is alcohol and drug addiction in Ghana?
A lot of people have asked me this same question, thinking that because it's in Africa, the problem isn't so serious here like the U.S., except, for numbers, because U.S. has a much larger population than Ghana. But, the problem is just as serious as it is here. Heroin addiction, cocaine addiction, alcohol and marijuana have been there for so many years. We don't have the other drugs like meth. They may be there to a little extent, but we have incidences of prescription meds, but not as serious as it is here. But generally, drug addiction is a very, very big problem in Ghana.
Mm-hmm. And Ghana is not a small country. Just looking online here, you're about the same size as Texas in terms of population, about 27 million people.
Sure.
So what are the resources now in Ghana for people with addictions?
Well, a couple of years back, when I was making efforts to do something about my addiction, the only places that were available was the psychiatric hospitals. And there was some stigma tied to going to treatment at the psychiatric hospitals. And they didn't really do much for you. For my personal experience of going into such institutions, anywhere between 25 to 30 times, they can
really
only help you with weaning you off the drugs. But treating the mental obsession, that didn't take place. So there was a cycle, people going in and out of psychiatric treatment. But fortunately, through the efforts of Recovery Africa in the last recent years, House of St. Francis was born. It's about 3.5 years old now. And then we have about four Oxford houses. The other initiatives, Recovery Ghana Consortium, is more like an umbrella that brings together all the stakeholders, in the treatment and recovery of alcohol and drug addiction together to see how they can deal with the problem and also carry the message of recovery to other parts of the country.
Yeah, so until recently, treatment was through a psychiatric program at a hospital.
Yes, and then maybe some traditional approaches, of course, which were unorthodox to a large extent and didn't really help.
Mm-hmm. And so you're in recovery yourself.
Yes, I'm in long-term recovery, and last February, recent February 7th, I celebrated my 6th anniversary.
Wow, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so you're a veteran of the psychiatric hospital route, and you said you had been in many, many times.
Yes, many, many times. I even lost count.
And that wasn't really working too well.
No, if it worked, I would have added something to the six. I'm sure I'd have clocked double numbers by now. It never helped. And even the approach, even to the kind of treatment I was given, sometimes it was very questionable.
Okay.
You know, I have a lot of experience with some of the way the patients have been treated. I've been a victim myself, and it's not very pleasant. But I'm happy to say that has changed. That is not the practice now. But we have three government-run psychiatric institutions in the country. There are other private-owned ones, but they are now incorporating the 12-step, approach, you know, as part, you know, of dealing with addiction mm-hmm. treatment.
Okay, so that's an improvement.
Yes.
And House of St. Francis. That's relatively new, 3-4 years?
Yes.
And is that's one of the three hospitals or three facilities?
Well, it's not a hospital. I was just making reference to the psychiatric hospital.
House
of St. Francis has been registered as a non-profit organization. So, like I said earlier, it's non-medical. When prospects come, we have to refer them to some of the health institutions to go for a detoxification before they can come to the house. We don't do any medical procedures. It's just a 12-step approach to treatment and recovery that we employ.
Mm-hmm. So House of St. Francis, 12-step program. And quite a few clients have passed through, more than 160 so
yes.
far.
Yes.
And what kind of a curriculum is that? Like when someone comes in, what's sort of the typical type of, how long do they stay? What's the treatment protocol like?
Okay. It's a 3 to 6 months program.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-phase. The first phase, you know, spans between 3 to 6 months because mm-hmm. People have the learning pace, you know, for clients to grasp the 12-step varies from client to client. So we give anywhere from 3 to 6 months, you know, for the clients who have gone through the program. So once they do that, then they've completed the first phase. And if they wish to stay on, then they go into the second phase where they enjoy certain privileges and then come aboard and help and help the staff members also to teach their clients to the first mm-hmm. To the newer clients. We also have to some extent a therapeutic community, you know, which we use to help the clients resolve, you know, personal issues or if they have any issues concerning maybe a staff member or maybe concerning their stay in the facility. And we also run a monthly family program where we invite the family members of the clients and then we expose them, you know, to the disease of addiction and then how they need to interact, you know, with their family members who are afflicted with the disease.
Yeah, that's great, bringing the family in, absolutely. Yeah. So House of St. Francis residents, both male and female?
Unfortunately, we haven't been able to provide residential treatment to women yet. We try to run an outpatient program for three women. that has been very challenging. But one of the women is currently sober, and we are, seeing how we can use her as a ground member to help other women in recovery. But among the four Oxford houses, the halfway houses that I mentioned, one of them is a women's house.
Yeah, I'm looking at your website now, and I see a picture of one of the graduates, I guess, with two children. Everybody's smiling. It's a really nice picture. Yeah, and you've had more than 90 people coming through over the past 7 years.
Yes.
So you mentioned that there's a lot of stigma around addiction in Ghana.
Yes. Recently, through the effort of Recovery Africa, where we're able to start the Recovery Ghana Consortium that I mentioned earlier, that brings together all that are concerned in helping to deal with the situation. We've been conducting some awareness programs and also like reaching out to the community, and some of the family programs that we've had at the House of St. Francis, has helped to debunk some of these things. But there's still a lot that we have to do. Recovery Africa brings experts from the recovery community here in the U.S. almost every year. And also we've had students in recovery from a number of the universities here who come and then create more of the awareness, do workshops, and this has actually helped, to some extent to make people more aware that addiction is a disease. So that has helped to reduce the stigma, but there's still more work to be done.
Yeah. Are people generally receptive to the programs that you've put in place there? I mean, are they willing to go into treatment?
I guess it's the same thing you find everywhere. I've had the opportunity to visit a couple of treatment facilities here. This is my second time in the U.S. And it's the same kind of behavior that I see demonstrated, by the clients here, So there have been situations that I've been able to actually help a few of the clients here. It's the same disease, so it's the same behavior. It doesn't matter where you find the people; it's the same behavior. Mm. So I think there's no difference to that. The attitudes, perceptions, the denial is the same thing you find everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. So the folks that you've brought to Ghana from abroad, can you give me some idea of what kinds of folks? Have they been counselors, therapists, and what kinds of workshops and trainings have they done there?
Well, we've had the program that we're using at the House of St. Francis. It's called Recovery Dynamics. Mm-hmm. And this is a replication of one used in a treatment facility in Arkansas. As the CEO of Kelly Foundation owns a treatment facility, and Kelly Foundation conducts training in their flagship program, that's Recovery Dynamics. So it's through one of the visits of the CEO of Kelly Foundation that even House of St. Francis was born. Then there was a talk of starting a treatment facility, because there really wasn't any treatment facility that was really making an impact. So the program that was to be adopted was a Recovery Dynamics. That's a 12-step 12-step approach to recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So the House of St. Francis started operating on August 1st, 2012, using Recovery Dynamics. So it was through the visit of one such people that even House of St. Francis is what it is now. And we've also had visits from one other renowned medical officer by the name of Dr. Almoni. His family runs a treatment facility in Statesboro, in Georgia, called Willing Way Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's made about three visits to Ghana in the past years, and we'll be going to Ghana again May. He's conducted lots of workshops. He's taught about he's taught addiction as a brain disease, how it relates to the brain. He's
mm-hmm.
done some peer recovery coaching, and he's also a staunch believer of the 12-step approach.
So he's really educating the public
yes.
about
but,
that disease
yeah.
model.
Yeah. But we've had the most impact, I think, we've had is from the students, because these students are in recovery themselves. Students from Texas Tech University and Georgia Southern Universities. In the past 3 or 4 years, they've been coming to Ghana every year. So they are well-received, and since they are young people in recovery, they don't really experience too much of the culture shock. And
mm-hmm.
Most of them that I've spoken to here, you know, are very anxious about going back to Ghana. So these students have made an impact, you know, on the people in recovery, also in Ghana, sharing with them their experience, strength, and hope.
Yeah, what's possible. Yeah. And you guys have recently taken the City of Angels CCAR Recovery Coach Program.
Yes.
So now you're going to be bringing the recovery coaching to Ghana.
Yes. Dan and I are thinking about facilitating a workshop and possibly getting some guys with very good recovery, some of the guys in the aftercare program, those who have graduated from the House of St. Francis, to help to start to take up that role. I was talking to Dan the other time about maybe the conflicting roles that he might have for me, you know, as a counselor, because recently I've had some training in addiction counseling, and I've been certified. And you agree with me that the role of an addiction counselor, even though there may be some similarities, that is quite different from that of a recovery coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be very careful how I wear these two different two hats. But
mm-hmm.
we'll definitely be conducting some workshop to train other people to become recovery coaches. Dr. Almoni, in his next visit in May, will also do, he terms it as peer recovery mentoring or peer recovery coaching, and I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah, that could be similar, yeah. So do you think people in Ghana would be receptive? The Ghanaian recovery community would be receptive to the coaching idea?
Yes, we are, our recovery community has grown over the past years, and our main aim is to grow a recovery movement. And Recovery Africa is really helping to bring that into being. And we are using this this informal group that I mentioned earlier, the Recovery Ghana Consortium, where you have, you know, everybody who is passionate about the treatment of treatment and recovery of addiction. We can get people from this group to help, you know, to be recovery coaches. Because I quite remember from the training, we had a lot of family members opting for the training. So anyone can be a recovery coach. Anyone who is passionate about helping can be a recovery coach. I'm sure we can even get some of the family members of the clients who visit the facility every month, you know, for the program, for the family program that we run. Some of them are very passionate, you know, about trying to help. So we can get some of the family members to also take part in the training.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that's what we're finding here in the U.S., that family members, a lot of them are very motivated to try to help and volunteer and do whatever they can to try to help, yeah. So you've also had a recovery walk in Ghana.
Yes. I think I was reading or talking to someone quite recently, and I think the UK, was it the UK? I think they had their first recovery walk, and they were so excited, you know, talking about, you know, attracting 200 people. But guess what? We attracted over 400 people for our first recovery walk.
400, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It is. And yeah. I'm looking at another picture here on your website, people holding signs, and that is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
And and plans are already underway for this year's walk, and we are targeting about 1,000 or more people.
Really? What's the date? Just in case any of our listeners are going to be in Ghana at that time.
I'm. Yeah, on the 26th of September.
Yep, Recovery Month. Very nice. 26th of September. Okay, so if anybody listening is going to be in Ghana on September 26th, check out Recovery Africa's Recovery Walk. Yeah. Do you get folks coming from neighboring countries to House of St. Francis or to your Oxford houses or any of your other recovery resources over there? Is it only Ghanaians or is it also people from other countries?
Well, we've had a couple of people from at House of St. Francis. We've had two or three clients from the Francophone country. When I say Francophone, I mean the French countries in West Africa. And we had a little challenge there since the recovery dynamics curriculum is in English. Though the big book, you know, which is the main, which is the textbook that we use, has a French translation. You know, the recovery dynamic itself was in English, and we didn't have anybody proficient in French to do the translation. So far, those are the two people that we had. But when we talk about the 12-step meetings, we've had people coming from outside, you know, expatriates, people coming to the country on business. These meetings are listed on the website, so they are able to access these meetings. So we get people, you know, foreigners every now and then visiting our 12-step meetings. But with treatment, we've also had some people coming to the Oxford House from outside,
mm-hmm.
but not too many visitors accessing our treatment facilities and other recovery support facilities. But mm-hmm. we have foreigners who are also helping, and some of them are also a part of the Recovery Ghana Consortium.
Yeah, I see you've got a long list of partners and supporters here. I mean, I'm scrolling down, and there's kind of no bottom. It just keeps going. This is really impressive, all the folks that are involved with what you're doing there. A lot of universities here I see, too.
Yeah, as Georgia Southern and then Texas Tech.
Yeah, and you recently did a fundraiser this past weekend. That was in the U.S. to raise awareness of Recovery Africa.
Yeah, that was in Bethesda, and mm-hmm. I think it's the fourth. It's the fourth fundraising event, but that's the first time I attended, and I was very privileged to be given the opportunity to talk, and I guess it's made, you know, more. It has created awareness, you know, that something positive is going on in Ghana, and people are amazed, you know, especially about the recovery work. People are very much amazed that, you know, something is actually happening in West Africa, in Ghana.
Yeah, oh, I know I was. When I saw you guys on the recovery coach list, I was really blown away. It was it was absolutely fantastic that people from around the world are picking up the recovery coaching model and taking the trainings and bringing it back to their communities. I just think that's amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners about the recovery community in Africa and what you're working on?
Well, Dan and I, you know, have visited other facilities too, and we've seen the need for a training center or a recovery community center. It's something that we are thinking of in the near future where, for instance, the training that we had, the recovery coach training that we had in New Jersey, we could invite people from outside to come and do the training, you know, and then we could do that at the training center or the mm-hmm. recovery community center. It's something that could help, you know, to bring more people aboard, especially since our main aim is to grow a recovery movement.
Yeah, definitely. People from other parts of Africa, even people from Europe and Asia might come to that. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And also, yeah. We're also looking at the possibility of starting drug courts. Dan and I visited. We were exposed, you know, to the drug court system in the New York area. And we're looking. The talk has come up, you know. We've discussed a number of times about the possibility of doing that, but it involves a lot, the government, legislature, and a whole lot of other things. But it's something that we are closely looking at, you know, to help reduce the incidence of drug and alcohol addiction, especially with drug addiction. But it may take a couple of years before it becomes a reality, but it is on the drawing board, and it's something that we are looking at very critically. Well, mm-hmm. Ghana is still an abstinence-based approach. We still believe in that approach. But like I said, because of the exposure that I had to other approaches through the recovery coach training, I will not debunk other treatment approaches, though I am inclined more towards total abstinence. Most of my friends and peers in recovery also are 12-step based. And I don't know if there will be that reception, you know, towards embracing harm reduction. As of now, I think it's an approach that is not very receptive because a lot goes into putting that sort of treatment approach in place. It requires a lot of monitoring. And if you agree with me, even though some people may be benefiting from it, it has its other consequences, and it hasn't been that very effective here, even in the U.S., like I'm told. So it may be a few years, you know, from now before we can even think about looking at that approach seriously.
Yeah, that may be. There are quite a few people, plenty of people here in the U.S. recovery community that are not in favor of harm reduction. It definitely is considered controversial by some people here as well. So, whereas 12-step has a very long history, and people are much more comfortable with that.
Well, I also like to add that, unfortunately, monies that could come aboard, you know, to support recovery efforts. Most of this sponsorship are geared towards harm reduction programs. 12-step based programs don't really qualify for such funding. So it's quite a challenge, you know, for a country like us that is, you know, just 12-step based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and funding's important. That's always a concern. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight and telling us about everything you're doing in Ghana. Anyone who would like more information can go to recoveryafrica.org. And luck with all you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, too.